I brought along something special. The questions asked, I know I was at Ronnie's open house yesterday, and it was great, and I asked him the question, and all of our students, so what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Isn't that asked just a lot? Everybody wants to know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. We'll see what's going to happen. I know that talking to some of you individually, you have some other dreams and goals, too, that you didn't even share a little bit of those up here, but that's all right. There's a way to handle it. I know growing up, you know, there's people have a lot of questions. What am I going to do with my life? I don't know. Well, you could get a fortune cookie at a Chinese place. Those are great. Pop one of those open and read it. You're going to have great financial success today and have to make a decision. Well, yeah, I'm going to have to decide whether I'm paying for this meal or not. That's the first one. You know, those are so random, you just don't know what to do with them. I know what I do with them. I usually finish each of those fortunes with three words, on the toilet. Because I figure that's about as worthless as they are, is there a fortune? People live their lives that way. Or you could go to Taco Bell. Have you seen these things in Taco Bell now? I know when this week we went down to Missouri to pick up my son, and I said, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go eat? I mean, you've been on base for 5 months eating MREs. We went to Taco Bell. And what a great experience that was. And they have these little packets, these sauce packets. And I slid one over to him. Here's your fortune. It said, will you marry me? You know, I got to think now, I don't think you kept that, did you? You didn't keep that. Okay. You know, I got to think, you know, it's crazy enough that there's probably someone in this world that actually probably proposed that way and used a Taco Bell packet. I don't know if it's happened. I haven't read it, but we live in a crazy world. It wouldn't surprise me. But you know what people do? People wake up each day and they have to make decisions. And some of those people make decisions with things like, I don't know, the Magic 8 Ball. Now, some of you are going, wait a minute, last week, if you were here, didn't you have an Etch-a-Sketch from Toys R Us? Yes, I did. Talked about erasing. Life is all about new beginnings. This week, went back to Toys R Us, got a Magic 8 Ball. I'm going to get some stock into Toys R Us. Remember the Magic 8 Ball? You'd ask it questions. Am I good looking? Try again. Come on, it's broken or something. Stupid 8 Ball. I don't know. Do you really want to live your life by a Magic 8 Ball? And yet there are people who wake up each day, they could honestly say, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Now, they know that they go to work. I know that you have a routine. But honestly, do you really know what you're going to do with the rest of your life? Because it's not just you. I have to ask that question too. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Well, you're going to pastor. Well, how do I know that? How do I know that there's not something else that God wants me to do? How do I know that tomorrow He doesn't just kind of show up with a little newsletter and say, I got something different for you? It could happen. Now the question is, am I going to obey that? Or am I going to wake up and just kind of go, well, I'll just let my random chance go. What am I going to do tomorrow? You know, there are people who speak words like that, that live the Magic 8 Ball. They use words like this. Well, good luck. Good luck to you. Good luck to your future. Well, I don't want to depend on luck for anything. You know, if a rabbit's foot is lucky, I got to think that's not the luck I want. There's some rabbit out there with three legs hopping around going, I didn't have such good luck. I don't want luck in my life. Or here's another one. Well, if the stars are right, I'll do it. Or if you play your cards right. Or how about this? Karma. Well, you know, life's all about karma. It's not. Well, it could be. Let's just shake it up. Listen, I don't want to get behind the eight ball in my life. I don't want to wake up in the morning and go, I wonder what I'm going to do. There's those kind of people, and then there's the other kind of people. Those are the kind of people that wake up each morning and they open this up. And this says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I am on your side. I wake up in the morning and I know this. God has a plan for my life. Today, God has something great for me. I wake up every day and I know that God has something for my life. I don't wonder if something's going to happen. I don't have to guess if something's going to happen. I know when I woke up this morning. Now, I can tell you this. I didn't know what was going to happen here this morning necessarily. But I knew God had something good today. I know God has something great. I cannot wait for Monday morning. There are some people who go, oh, Monday morning. TGIF. Thank God. I can't wait for Friday. Folks, I can't wait for tomorrow. I cannot wait to see what God has planned. My Bible tells me some people, instead of living by this magic eight ball and shaking it up and saying, I wonder what God has for me today. No, they shake that up and then they read the answer. Better luck next time. I don't want better luck next time. I want to open up my Bible in Proverbs. My Bible tells me that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Every step I take, God orders my life. Well, I tell you what, that's some pretty good sure footing instead of, well, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Try again. I live my life. There are people who live their lives by Proverbs verse chapter 3 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your way acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I think that's a really good place to live. You guys are going to be facing a lot of things, but you're not going to face anything different than your folks and anybody in this place is facing. You're going to face all the choices that we face every morning, waking up and deciding, will I live by the eight ball or will I live by the Word of God? Does God have a plan for my life, or is life just a bunch of random chances and circumstances on this gigantic third rock from the sun traveling at 86,000 miles per second through outer space with nobody at the driver's seat? My Bible tells me that God has laid the foundations of the world and He has a plan for my life. I'm very excited about God's plan for my life. And you know what? We read the story where Jesus is talking and He's talking to a group of people and He says, I want you to know something. If you will do this, I'm entrusting you, every one of you, I'm trusting you. And so here you go. I'm going to give you some talents and I trust you with everything I've made. It says, the master said, I entrust you with all my property. God has given us this great life and this great planet. What we do with it is up to us, but He trusts you. Isn't that an amazing statement? God trusts you. God trusts me. My question is, am I trustworthy? He trusts me with everything. He gave me this planet. He gave me this life. He gave me this wife. He gave me this family. He's given me this church. He has given it. I didn't earn it. I didn't create it. I didn't make it up. God has given it. Every one of your precious little children, those beautiful babies that you hold, God has given those to you. He trusts you. What are you going to do with it? Every one of you guys got asked that question. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? I think every one of us have to answer that question. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You have two choices. You're either going to live it the way God is asking you, He trusts you, or you're going to wake up each day and you're going to say, you know what? I think I'll just get behind the eight ball. I'll just see what I have for myself. And you'll shake it up and you'll just figure it out as you go. I talked to my father-in-law. He was telling me about one of his brothers who worked at a factory for 35 years and retired. And he didn't realize this. He was just sharing this with me this week. His brother hated every moment of every day, of every week, of every year of his life at that factory. And I thought to myself, why would you wake up in the morning and go somewhere where you don't want to do what you don't want to do? Now, I understand there are things that we have to do, but then there are things that we were created to do. And why would you do what you weren't created to do? Walk away from that and go do what you're supposed to, what God created you to do on this good earth. And I want to have this happen. When life is over, every one of us are going to stand before God and He's going to say one of two things. And we just read it here. Jesus tells us what God will say to you. The first one is, well done. Don't you want to have God say to you, well done. Good job. Attaboy. Good job. Great job, girls. Don't you want somebody to pat you on the back and say, good job, well done. I want God to be able to do that to me. I like it when my family did that growing up. My dad would say, great job, son. Great job, son. Or you're going to hear these words. You lazy, no good. I don't know if you've ever heard those words. I told you to clean out that barn. You lazy, no good. Well, Jesus doesn't mix words. He says, you wicked, lazy person. I don't want to hear those words ever. I don't want to stand before God and hear Him say lazy. I don't want Him to say no good. I want Him to pat me on my back, and I want to hear those words. Well done. Well done. Here's how you can be well done. How do you know that? Well, I mean, I don't want to live this way. I want to live this way. And the first one is this. I want to pay my dues. Seniors, listen to me. Pay your dues. Everyone else, listen. Pay your dues. In other words, there's a guy in here, the Bible says very clearly in verse 18, there was a man who received one talent. He went away and he dug a hole and he stuck it in the hole. Is that the way we're supposed to live our lives? To go stick our talent in a hole? To go bury it somewhere? How many people aren't using their talents? How many folks never see what they should see? One talent, and he sticks it in a hole. You know why he stuck it in a hole? Well, look at what the Bible says. It says in verse 24, the man who had received one talent came to his master, and he said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man. Well, there's a surprise. Has anybody in here figured out that life is hard yet? Life is really, really hard? Life is extremely hard. I got to hear how hard life can be, talking to my son and meeting his drill sergeants. And I thought, that's a life I don't want. 4:30 in the morning getting screamed at. I mean, we walked up to his barracks. We got pretty much screamed at. Get out of here, civilians! I thought, okay, we're leaving. Don't have to tell me twice. You got the guns. Life is hard. I learned life was hard Saturday when I'm trying to dig out a trench with my kids, 66 feet long on one side and about 40 feet on the other side, 3 feet deep, and putting pea stone and gravel. I didn't think I'd be able to walk today after shoveling all this stuff. Life's hard. I learned life was hard when the bills showed up. We learned life was hard with the... This guy says, well, life's hard. It's hard. I don't have time. I don't have time to deal with this one talent. I want to let you know something. You ought to pay your dues. Because when you pay your dues on the one side, there's a reward on the other side. If you'll pay the price, there's always something good on the other side. Well done. Well done. I remember several phone calls over the last 5 months. I can't wait to come home. I hate this place. This is the worst thing in the world. What kind of thing have I gotten myself into? On and on and on and on. I kept saying, we're praying for you. Hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. And on that, and paying those dues. And on the way home, he says, I can't wait to go back. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. As we sat in the ceremony, I was never so proud in my whole life as one of the captains got up and he said, these are the men who will defend and protect your freedom. These are the people who, when a flag is flown, will stand at attention. These are the men who will defend your freedom for that flag. These are the men who will be buried when a drape of that flag covers their casket. These are the men who do that so that you have the right to burn that flag. And I said, and I sat there and all I could do was cry, thinking, I'm so proud. I'm so proud that he was willing to pay that price so that I could have the freedom to do what I do. And then I think about you seniors in school and us, the things that we do. Listen, raising children, it's not easy when you just think, I'm going to take them out. Get me some NyQuil and duct tape. Oh, trust me, those are the two greatest inventions for parenting I've ever seen. I know this is on tape. Somebody's going to knock on my door from child services going, sir, we have you on tape. Yes, take them all. Listen, I understand that parenting is hard, and you are hanging in there, and you are working hard to raise these kids to be godly men and women. Trust me, when you pay the price, and you get to the other side, and you can honor them, and here they sit. Ah, look at you, graduating tassels and robes, going off to mission fields and work and college and the things that you do. We are honored that we have trained you, but more than that, that you have stood and here you are in church today on a Sunday in your robes to honor God and to honor your family. That is honorable that your parents have done a great job. They have paid the price. Now honor them. We live in a society that doesn't want to pay the price. They just as soon find a shortcut. Shake it up and get behind the eight ball. We need to pay the price. Pay the dues. Pay your dues. This guy was afraid to pay his dues. He was afraid. You know why he was afraid? I'm going to say this clearly. Don't miss this. I'm not talking to you. Actually, I'm talking to the other 300 in here. Listen. We live in a society that would just soon not pay their dues. We live in a society that would try to find a shortcut. We live in a society that says, I don't want to have to go through this. It is so hard to do for me to do this. I would just soon find a way to set it all aside. Pay your dues. If you're faithful with the little things, and you guys are given little things right now to do, if you're faithful with that, God will reward you with greater things. Success breeds success. Failure breeds failure. If you've only been given the one talent, be faithful with the one talent. If you've been given 10, be faithful with the 10. But be faithful for whatever you have been given. And listen, don't be afraid. This guy went and he buried it. Why did he bury it? He says, I knew you were a hard man. I was afraid. There are more people who are afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try. Okay? Don't be afraid to fail. So you fail. Who cares? Go do it again. Fail again. I talk to more people who are afraid to get into Jesus Christ, into a relationship, because they say, I know I'm already going to mess up tomorrow. I said, wow, you've already messed up today. You're afraid of what might happen tomorrow. Do you not know who God is? God is a gracious and loving God. He is a God who wants to seek mercy in your life. And there are people who quit before they even try. There are people who won't go out for sports. There are people who won't try jobs. There are people who won't do things in their lives because they think they're going to fail before they even try. They have already failed because they haven't tried. We're opening up possibly a nursery. We're looking at, somebody says, well, you might fail. Okay, we fail. We're opening up a teen center this fall. I'm excited about it. Well, what if it fails? It fails. We opened up a church 3 years ago. What if it failed? We built a school in Nicaragua. What if that failed? Come on, folks. I don't care about the failure. I just want to go and I want to use my talent and I'll leave the failing and successes to God. He will pat me on the back one day and say, you know what? You paid your dues. Well done. That's what I want to be about. Pay your dues. Don't be afraid. Don't bury what God has given you. Every one of you have been given great talents. Tyler, it seems like God's given you a talent for tennis. We'll have to go play sometime. Because God has given me a half a talent for tennis. So maybe you can play me left-handed, but He's given you a talent. You're going to use that. Use that talent. Multiply that talent. Use it to benefit this world. Make it a better world for that. Missions, computers, work, singing, broadcasting, security, whatever you do, use it for God and make this world better than when you found it. Every one of them that said, well done, they doubled. They made this world twice as good. The 5 was 10. The 2 was 4. It was a job well done. Take your life and make it better. Double it. That means you and one other person. All you got to do is make a difference in one person's life and you've doubled your talent. That's it. It's that simple. The second thing is this. Pat on the back. The P is pay your dues. The second one is attack life with a purpose. Do you know how many people wake up and do this? Wonder what I'm going to do today. Do you notice how many people don't wake up before lunch? College students don't wake up before 1. You're already thinking, I've got at least a week of that coming. Some of you are jumping right into it. You're not even going to have a couple days for that. But there are people who wake up and they kind of go, I wonder what's going to happen today. They have no purpose. If I ask people, and I do all the time, what are your goals in life? What are your goals? They say, well, I'm going to work and I'm going to retire. No, what are your goals? Do you have any short-term goals? Do you have a list of goals? Have you ever sat down and just written out, here's what I'm doing today? Every Monday, I sit down and write down, to do. Those are my first two words, to do. And I write down all the things I have to do that week. Those are my goals. Do you have any one-year goals? Do you have any five-year goals? People have missed out on this idea of doing life on purpose. They hope something will happen. But if you don't set a goal, listen, if you don't set a goal, I guarantee you will meet all of your goals. You're aiming at nothing, I'm sure you're going to hit it. Years ago, I was challenged to do this. I sat down and wrote down some goals. One of my goals in life was to do missions work. I've had the opportunity to build schools, to travel around in Europe, to go see a teen center that was built, to go to Mexico and work in the governor's mansion and work in the streets of Mexico. Have you set any goals? One of my goals is to visit every baseball stadium in North America at least once before I die. So that doesn't sound very spiritual. It's not. It's just a goal. Why is it a goal? Because I'm living my life on purpose. I want to do things. One of my goals is to parachute. One of my goals was to ride on a bull in a rodeo. One of my goals was to shoot different kinds of guns. I've done those things. Not the smartest things to do, but those were some of my goals. One of my goals was to read through the Bible. One of my goals is to memorize the book of James. One of my goals is to do that. What are your goals in life? There was a young man that sat down at the age of 15, and he decided to attack life on purpose. It was raining. I challenge you, seniors, you're not going to maybe get the chance to do this before the week's end, but maybe you can. One afternoon, a 15-year-old boy named John Goddard sat down in his kitchen on this rainy day in Los Angeles. He wrote three words on the top of a piece of paper. Here's what it said. My life list. He wrote down 127 goals as a 15-year-old. Here's some of the 108 that he's accomplished that I know of that at this printing. He explored the Nile River, the Amazon River, the Congo River, the Colorado River. I'm just reading the ones he wrote down, and he did them. He studied primitive cultures in the Congo, New Guinea, Brazil, Borneo, the Sudan, where he was nearly buried alive in a sandstorm. He went to Australia, Kenya, the Philippines, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Alaska. He has not climbed Mount Everest that I know of yet. That's on his list, or Mount McKinley. But he has climbed Mount Huascarán in Peru, Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Ararat, Mount Kenya, Mount Popocatepecal in Mexico, the Matterhorn, Mount Rainier, Mount Fuji, Mount Vesuvius, Mount Borno, Grand Tetons, Mount Baldy in California. He carried out careers in medicine and exploration. He studied the Navajo and Hopi Indians. He learned to fly a plane, ride a horse in the Grand Rose Parade. He's photographed Victoria Falls, Sutherland Falls, Yosemite Falls, Niagara Falls. He retraced the travels of Marco Polo and Alexander the Great. At 15, he wrote these down. He has accomplished these things. He explored underwater the great coral reefs of Florida, the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. He photographed a 300-pound clam, the Red Sea, the Fuji Islands, the Bahamas. He visited the Great Wall of China, Panama and Suez Canal, Easter Island, the Galapagos Islands, Vatican City, saw the Pope, the Taj Mahal, the Eiffel Tower, the Blue Grotto, the Tower of London, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Sacred Wall of Chichen, the climbed Ayers Rock in Australia. He has swam in Lake Victoria, Lake Superior, Lake Titicaca in South America, and Lake Nicaragua. He accomplished becoming an Eagle Scout, dove in a submarine, landed on and took off from an aircraft carrier, flown a blimp, a hot air balloon, and a glider. He rode an elephant, a camel, an ostrich, and a bronco. He skin dived to 40 feet to hold his breath 2.5 minutes underwater. He wrote this down at 15 and did that. He learned to play the flute and the violin, type 50 words a minute, take a parachute jump, learn to water and snow ski. He became familiar with Bach, Beethoven, Ibert, Mendelssohn, Lalo, and a whole host of things I can't pronounce. He went to church. He went to a mission with a church. He studied native medicine. He bagged camera trophies of elephant, lion, rhino, cheetah, cape buffalo, and whale. He learned to fence, learned jujitsu, taught a college course, watched a cremation ceremony in Bali, explored the depths of the sea, built his own telescope, wrote his own book, published his own title, high jump 5 feet, broad jump 15 feet, ran a mile in 5 minutes, weighed 175 pounds, still does, performed 200 sit-ups, 20 pull-ups, learned French, Spanish, Arabic, visited the birthplace of grandfather in Denmark, visited great-grandfather Goddard in England, shipped aboard a freighter as a young seaman, read the Bible from cover to cover, and on and on and on and on and on. 15 years old, he said, I'm going to live my life on purpose. Now, one of two things just happened to you. You sat there and you thought to yourself, wow, I could never do that. Or some of you are thinking, I can't wait to get a hold of a pen and a piece of paper. Those of you that said, I can't wait to get a hold of a pen and piece of paper, God bless you. God wants us to live our life on purpose. Those of you that said, I could never do that, you've already decided what God can and can't do in your life. You ought to sit down and at least give God the opportunity to push the pen in your hand. But we ought to set goals in our lives. Set goals in your life. Because if you don't, you're living your life by accident, and you might as well be living behind the eight ball saying, gee, I wonder what's going to happen today. And too many people in our world live this way and not by God's way. Finally, if you want a pat on your back to say, well done. By the way, for this guy, could you imagine, well done. What a life. I can't imagine that. Do I have goals in my life? I have a lot of goals in my life. I'd like to be a preacher that's not paid a dollar by my church. I'd like to be the volunteer pastor here someday that I could financially do that. I'd like to have no debt. I'd like to give money to certain missions. I'd like to. What would you like to do? Start dreaming. Because God says you could do imaginably more. He can do imaginably more than you could ever hope for or even imagine. Not only do you need to invest, pay your dues, attack life with a purpose, but finally this. Lisa? Is Lisa here? Oh, there she is. Come on up. Can I have Lisa come up as we close? The last thing I want to say about getting a pat on the back, pay your dues, attack life with a purpose. Here's the T. Try again. Just try again. Some of you have failed, maybe in a marriage. Try to put things back together. Maybe you've tried in a relationship with your kids. Try again. Maybe you've tried college. Listen, I tried college. It was great for 6 years to get that one degree. I tried law. I tried professional baseball. Those were great. I thought that's what I would do. God had different plans for me. I'm so happy to do what I'm doing. Try again. Try again. How many times have you failed? How many times have I failed? You could ask my wife. How many times a day? We talked about last week, 490 times. God's grace said, try again. Try again. Abraham Lincoln failed and failed and failed. Failed in Congress. Failed at the Senate. Failed at his business. His sweetheart died. Failed, then elected. Failed again. Failed again. Failed again. Failed as the vice president nominee. Finally was elected president of the United States. And gave us the Emancipation Proclamation. Who cares if you fail? Try again. And God will go, well done. Well done. I want God to pat me on the back one day and say, well done. I don't want to live my life behind the eight ball. I think that's lazy. What am I doing today? I think that's lazy. I want to wake up each day and say, God, I want to try again. What do you have for me? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. I met him when he was just a young man in high school. He was probably a little taller than you, Ronnie. About 6'4", big fella, like a teddy bear. And he came to my house, my first church ever. He was a neat guy. I only met him once. I have this thing about having churches not in church buildings. We met in a hotel for our church services. I was a youth pastor, young, right out of college. And so my wife and I, the only place we could meet with the youth group was in our living room, in our house. So the kids came over every Wednesday in our living room. And Paul walked in one Wednesday night. Big fella, huge fella. Didn't see him again for months. Paul came back one Wednesday night, and I said, Paul, good to see you. And he told me later, he says, that changed my life, the fact that you remembered my name. That is not my talent. I just happen to remember his name. And he came up to me, and he gave me a big bear hug. He was that way. He just loved to hug people. Just a big fella, but just a teddy bear. Paul really paid the dues. He paid the dues. He got excited about God. He said, I'm going to change Birmingham, Alabama for Christ. And he just got excited. He started studying the Bible over and over. And it wasn't easy for him. He didn't just go, oh, I'm just going to read the Bible. His parents weren't Christians. Nobody in his family was Christians. Rough life. His girlfriend wasn't a Christian. She got saved. Tracy. And Paul told me one day, he says, I know what my purpose is. I'm supposed to be a pastor like you. I said, really? I said, Paul, tell you what, you're going to preach in a couple of Sundays on an evening service at the hotel. He invited all of his family in. His dad was a truck driver. They all came in, and his aunts and uncles, and they were a rough bunch. They were all in our service at that hotel, Rhine Garden Inn, Birmingham, Alabama. And I remember him preaching. He got up and up on the pulpit, he set two things up. He set a little pawn and a king. from a chess set. And I'll never forget 20 years ago that sermon. He said, I'm a pawn in life. This is me. I serve the king. It's my job to serve him. All I can do, and if you know anything about chess, is take one step at a time forward. That's it. And then one step. And maybe to engage the enemy side to side every once in a while at an angle. He says, that's my job. And if I'm called on to sacrifice for my king, that's what I will do. I'm sitting back there going, wow, he's going to have my job. And then he said, if you know anything about chess, you take that one step at a time. One step. Because we all want to fly to the other side. It's one step. He says, when you get to the other side, the great thing is you get to be transformed. You get to become and trade it in. That pawn, you can be the rook, the bishop, the queen. You get the power. You get it by getting to the other side. He goes, that's us. I want to get to the other side for Jesus. Well done. Well done. Oh, I'm sitting there listening. And then he opened up the altar. He says, maybe you've never decided to be a part of this. He says, maybe you want to come down and give your life to Jesus. I'm sitting there going, wow, he's a senior in high school. It's amazing. He opened up the altar and some of his family members came and got saved. Eventually his mom and dad got saved, started coming to church, turned their lives around. Paul, you are a preacher. We moved away. I remember the day I told him we were moving. I said, Paul, we're going to Michigan. What God has for us right now. That was a hard day. A lot of tears. Paul, you're going to be a preacher, though. Oh, yeah, Pastor. The years went by, not too many. And we got word that Paul got married. I couldn't believe it. Paul got married. He never called. He never wrote. I kind of thought maybe I'd even be not in the wedding, but perform the wedding. He and Tracy got married. And then I found out why. He'd gotten her pregnant. So they got married. He never called, not a word. He was so embarrassed, so ashamed. Not only did he not call us, but he quit church. He quit serving God. He quit the ministry. He quit everything. He thought, how can I serve God? I failed God. God must hate me. I've sinned. It was our fourth year of ministry. We found out we were going to plant a church. Some friends we had led to the Lord had moved to Birmingham, Alabama. We started a church out of their house, and God just put it in our heart to move. Paul's little girl at that time was only a few months old. And we went down to visit there, and I thought, I'm going to call Paul up. I wonder what he and Tracy are doing these days. They would be great to help us start a church out of a house in Alabama. I remember getting to Alabama, and I called him up. Sure enough, I got a hold of him. I said, Paul, meet me at the McDonald's. You know the place where we used to sit and talk about God. Oh, okay. So I'm on my way there, and he's on his way. And I ran to Toys R Us again. Keep seeming to go back there. And I grabbed a chess set, a wooden chess set. I threw it in the back seat, and I pulled a pawn out. I walked into McDonald's, and I sat down. And Paul walks in, that big, burly teddy bear. With a baby, a little girl on his arms, the little cradle thing he's carrying. And he walks in, and he sits down, and he doesn't make any eye contact with me. I said, Paul, it's so good to see you. Yeah, it's good to see you too, Pastor. Paul, it's been a few years. Susan and I are moving here, and we're going to start a church. We'd love to have you and Trace the apartment, Pastor. I don't even go to church anymore. I reach in my pocket. I grabbed that pawn, and I set it up on the table. And with that, he wasn't even looking. I just slid it across the table. I said, Paul, God still loves you. Don't give up. You're going to get to the other side. Come join me and plant a church. He looked up, and for the first time he saw that pawn, he looked at me. Tears coming down his face. He got up. He walked over, and I stood up. He gave me one of those big bear hugs. He said, I love you, Pastor. And he and his wife joined our church, and they helped us start a church. They worked with our kids' ministry and loved all kinds of kids. People got saved. We went into apartment complexes. We did church in apartments, in their little pool house things, all over the city. We stay in touch with Paul. That was a lot of years ago. Paul and Tracy just had their 11th child. Paul goes on to study the Word. He's been preaching in churches, but God's given him a new calling, and I just got an email not too long ago. He's running for the U.S. Congress. He wants to take God to our nation's capital. Paul. Yeah. Paul woke up one day behind the eight ball and he said, you know what, my life doesn't matter anymore because God doesn't love me. And I said, no, God wants you to know something. Paul, God never quits. Try again. And Paul got up off his rear end and he said, you know what, that's all right. I was going to chuck it across the room. I'm so tired of people living their lives, shaking it up and hoping for the best. When God says, you want to live a better life? Come join me. Get inside these pages and watch life come alive. And one day God will pat you on the back and say, well done. And I say to you today, graduates of all the places that you've been, well done. Has it done well? It's not over. It's just the next day of the rest of your life. So what are you guys going to do with the rest of your life? I hope you do your life well done. Because that's what God calls us to. A life well done. Let's stand and pray together.